The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
Man, I love this place. I'm not kidding. Every time we do this, I just have a hard time hanging in there. I wear two rings on my left hand, and it's not a fashion statement. My wife still dresses me, to be honest. She lays stuff out on the bed and tells me that's what I'm wearing, because she didn't, I'd be wearing a blue t-shirt right now. And I know some of you find my dress right now unacceptable, so it would be worse if it was not for my wife. I wear two rings on my left hand. Both were gifts from my wife. The first one she gave me on our wedding day, and it's both silver and gold, because my wife wanted me to be able to wear either a silver watch or a gold watch, and it not clashed with mine. It's the truth, yeah. The second one was given to me by my wife after the birth of my son, and inscribed on the inside of it is Psalm 145, one generation will commend your works to the next. And I come from about 100 years of dysfunction, and my great-great-great-grandfather was hung for robbing trains, and that was one of the high points in our history. And I remember being 12 years old the first time I thought, not going to be the way I do my house. And so these two rings, I don't like jewelry. I don't like that they clink all the time. But they always clink together, and they clink against my coffee cup. And I have this nervous habit of tinkling my fingers now and making music with them. And like, there's nothing magical about these rings. Nothing. I don't go invisible when I put one on. I don't rule the universe with them. They're just rings. Honestly, I don't even know that they're very expensive rings. I mean, I know that we got this one at James Avery for like $20. They're not expensive rings. And honestly, if you found them in the parking lot outside, if they fell off my hand and you found them in the parking lot, maybe you don't even pick them up. I mean, maybe it's like, oh, somebody dropped their ring and get in your car. There's just nothing spectacular about them. They're just rings. That's all they are. But to me, these are more than just rings. To me, this is a constant reminder of Christ's command on my life to love my wife like Jesus loved the church. And I need a reminder, because that's not easy. All the single people are confused. All the married men are with me. This one, it clinks, and it's there to remind me that I am to impart the greatness of God to my children, which is very different than telling my children what God likes and doesn't like. It's very different. God's not the cosmic policeman of the universe. He is the creator of all things good. So my job isn't, hey, don't do that. God doesn't like that. Right now, my job with a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old is that God created the color pink, and he's the one that came up with candy. And that's my job right now, to impart the greatness of Christ to my children. And so every time these clink on a glass, every time they annoy my hand, every time for whatever reason I'm awkwardly carrying something, I have to shake some man's hand who wants to show me how much of a man he is in that handshake. Every time, I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't, but okay. And every time that happens, I'm reminded, like just a little bit ago, we sang Come Thou Fount, and in that it says, so I raise my Ebenezer. And for our generation, for most of our generations in here, that's kind of a lost concept on us. But Ebenezer was a stone that they placed up in the Old Testament that would be a reminder of what God had done. And then so these two rings, for me, they're more than silver. They're more than silver and gold. They're more than jewelry. To me, they're these reminders of all Christ has done and all that he has gifted me with in my family and my responsibility to lead them and love them as Christ commands. And so to me, they're rings, but they're much more than rings. So tonight, in about 5 minutes, they're going to be these men and women, and they're going to grab this basket of bread, and they're going to pass it around. And here's the deal. There's nothing magical about the bread. We bought it at Kroger. So we got it. There's nothing magical about it. It's just bread. And then after that, we're going to pass by this little thing with these tiny little cups of juice. It's not wine. I've been pushing for wine, but we're Baptists, which means we only drink it private. And we so it's juice, right? It's juice. Eventually, we'll turn that over, all right? But right now, it's just juice. And there's nothing magic about that juice. We bought it at Kroger. It comes in these little plastic things, and it's just juice. There's nothing magical. If you drink it, it doesn't mean that you're going to not get sick. It's just bread, and it's just juice. That's all it is. But to those of us who by faith have been saved by grace, not of ourselves, but because of Him, so that no one would boast, to us this is much more than bread. To us, this is much more than juice. So for those outside of this, tonight it's bread and it's juice. For even those who are religious, because I wanted you to catch this theme tonight. I wanted you to catch this theme that in the end, Jesus is not after building a religion. That's not what He's doing. You go to church your whole life. Can you not ascribe to every truth of Christian doctrine, but then say it's not for me and be lost? Absolutely. Can you not be perfect in morality and still be lost? Christ hasn't come to build moral people. He's come to save them and change their souls. The other part is just a thing that occurs because of the first. So for us, this is much more than bread, men. It's much more than juice. Jesus, he took the bread on that night. It must have been so confusing, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, and then he took the cup, and he said, this is my blood, and then on top of that, he said, do this in remembrance of me, and he says, listen, you're going to want to remember this moment, because the next day, the most paradoxical moment in the history of the universe would occur. 100% complete love was going to collide with complete wrath in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we live in 2006, and for some reason, it's popular opinion that God is not angry with sin anymore, even if there was such a thing. If you've ever wondered about God's feeling towards sin, you need look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ and the slaughtered body of His Son. Because in the torturous death of Jesus Christ, you find all the wrath of God towards mankind and their sin. And the love of God towards mankind despite that sin. It's a paradoxical moment. It's hard to get the head around. All His wrath, all His love, one moment. And Jesus goes, remember, I want you to remember, don't forget how much I hate sin, don't forget how much I love you despite sin. Don't forget those two things. So we're going to do some of that tonight. We're going to do some remembering tonight. But there's this other piece that I want us to talk about tonight. There's this other piece that I want us to see tonight. And I'm going to do it really, really quickly. So if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, I think they're going to throw it up on the screen behind me. If you don't own a Bible, steal one of our paperback ones and take it home with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. One of my favorite verses in all of the scriptures. And I know I say that every week. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God, I'll stop there, all of them, every one of the promises of God, every promise that God has made. If God made a promise, it's included in this text. All the promises of God, every promise that He ever made, every promise made, all the promises of God. Do I need to keep going on this or do you got me? All right? If you can think of a promise that God made, it's now in this text. All right? All of them. Every one of them. All the promises of God. Let's read this next line. For all the promises of God find their yes in who? Him. All the promises of God. Every promise that God has made finds it's yes in the cross of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Every promise He's made finds its yes in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that by partaking in that death tonight and partaking in a little piece of bread and a little glass of juice, we by faith partake in the yes of all the promises. And so tonight it's more than just bread. Tonight it's more than just juice. Tonight, for those who have been saved, for those who are being saved, it's the yeses of God. And so what does that mean? Okay, we'll run through just a couple of big ones for time's sake. He is sufficient. God has said that Jesus would be sufficient. He would be all that we needed. And if we had him, nothing else would matter. Like health, it wouldn't matter if we lived to be 103 or we died at 30. He was enough. If we reached into our pocket to find our keys and pulled out four $100 bills, or we are still looking for our keys, it wouldn't matter. He's enough. If everything went well or everything went wrong, he is enough. If we lived a life of ease or a life of suffering, he is enough. This is the promise of God that finds its fulfillment in the cross of Christ. And by faith tonight we partake, you are enough. The scriptures say that he's going to forgive all my sins, justify me, and let me stand perfect before him. 13 years in, I still can't get my head around that, because I know the definition of perfection and I'm acquainted with me. Huh? So tonight I'm going to put stale bread and bad grape juice in my mouth, and I will hope by faith in the justifying, propitiating act of Christ on the cross. Or how about this one? And the church always needs to be reminded of this one. When he takes the cup, he says, this is the blood of my new covenant. He says that the old way of being is gone. What was the old way of being? The old way of being was a rigid law system that made you with discipline, white-knuckle morality. Jesus goes, no, in the new way, I'm just going to change your heart. I'm just going to change your heart. I'm just going to change your heart. Did you hear that tonight? So I grew up in church. I knew right and wrong. I walked out in the parking lot with this girl. She put her hand on me and prayed me. I started blubbering like a baby. That is what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. It's not a rigid set of rules that must be followed. It's the Holy Spirit awakening the soul. Jesus says, I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change your heart so you'll love what pleases me and you'll hate what I hate. And listen, you know why I need to think on that tonight while we do communion? Because in some ways that's so true, and in some ways I'm far off from that. Anybody with me? Anybody who's not's a liar. Anybody who's not is a liar. Yeah. Or how about this one? One day Jesus is going to turn to his right and say, today. And God the Father is going to say, yeah, today. And he's going to crack open the sky and come back and get us. And maybe right now you're in the place in life where that does very little for you. You're just like, oh, that'll be cool. I look forward to that. Maybe you're in that place yet where you're still going, yeah, I would like that, but I'd really like that promotion. All right. The Lord will kill that soon enough. All right. Well, not soon enough, but eventually. All right. He will kill that in you. So, yeah, so maybe tonight, maybe that's the yes I need to focus on. And listen, these are just some. These aren't all. These are just some. These are just some of the biggies. He's promised that those who would train up a child in the way that they would go, even in the end, they won't depart from it. And so, it's one of those promises. And so I see Dustin baptizing this little girl, knowing I have one and looking forward to that day. Hoping. Save. Yeah. So by faith, tonight, I hope in the yeses of God in the flesh who shed his blood to pay the price for the reckless foolishness of men. Okay, so here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm done. I mean, can you believe that? It's record. It's like 12 minutes. All right. I'm just going to pray for us, and here's what's going to happen. As I pray, I'm going to say amen. And the moment I say amen, there are going to be men and women all over the place that they're going to get up and they're going to head to the back and they're going to get these baskets of bread and they're going to get these things of juice and they're going to start passing them around. And while they do that, we're going to sing two songs. One is called Tasting Forgiveness. And it's a phenomenal song about communion. Maybe this time the bread and the wine will be more than food on my lips. And then we're going to go into a song about the blood. And here's what I want you to do while they sing those two songs and while they pass out the elements. I want you in two places, all right? I want us to remember, and Bleeker's going to lead us in some of that. When he gets to the blood, I want you to think on the cross. I want you to think on, but here's what I want you to do first. I want you to find a promise. I want you to find a promise you need right now. I mean, have you been there where you just need that promise? You need to chew on it. You need to think on it. You need to dwell on it. And I want you to find that promise for you tonight. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's one that I mentioned. Maybe it's not one that I mentioned, but one that you know. I want you to find. And while they pass out the elements and while we sing these songs, I want you dwelling on that. It's what men not too long ago called meditation. Yeah. Think on the promises. Think on the purchase of those things. By faith, let's think on those things that when we're partaking in communion, it's not bread, it's not wine. It's all the promises of God finding their yes in Him. Don't do the elements. Once you've got your bread and your wine, just hold them. We're going to take them together as a family. Two more clarifying statements. If you are here tonight and you're a believer in Christ and you attend another church, men, we're glad that you're here. We know we're a mess. We know that we're loud. We know all that stuff. And we know some of you are still kind of wide-eyed from that. We're glad that you're here tonight. Please do communion with us. Please celebrate with us tonight, because the same Jesus that saved you has saved these young men and women. Celebrate with us tonight. Please do communion with us. The second thing, if you're not a believer tonight and you're here because somebody you knew was getting baptized or a friend just invited you out to dinner and brought you here and you walked in, they gave you a hot pocket, you know, and then here you are, just kind of straight up suckered you in, you know. Let me try to explain. We love that you're here. I'm not ever going to ask you to, I'm going to try to be disrespectful to you or your life or what you're doing. I'm going to present the gospel and let Jesus take care of the rest. I'm going to talk to you about the rhythms of the universe, how things are at the deepest level of the universe, and I'm going to talk to you about what the scriptures say. Here's the thing about communion. Communion's a very deeply sacred deal for those of us who know Christ. I tried to explain why. So listen, I'm glad that you're here. You're invited into this place as deep as you want to go. Please come to a home group. Please come to a small group. Please come to Celebrate Recovery. Please come to nights of worship that we do. Please come to the service projects that we do. If you want to go to China, we run there several times a year. If you want to go to Liberia, we'll run there. If you want to go to Guatemala, we'll run there. Come play. Come join. Bleeker will buy you dinner anytime you want dinner. Come and hang out. You are welcome to be a part of this place. But here's the thing, communion is very serious for us. So here's what I'm going to ask. Not trying to judge you, I'm just trying to explain to you what this is. When that plate comes by you, when that basket comes by you, you need to just keep passing it by, all right? You need to keep passing it by, because this is bread and it's wine. But to us, it's much more than that. And more than you know, I pray there be a day where you take a piece of bread out of that basket. But if tonight you're not a believer, then you need to pass it, okay? But I love you. I swear I love you. I'm glad you're here. I don't want to ever make you feel like you're not a part, because I want you to see the kingdom of God through the church. I want you to do that. But tonight's a family deal. Tonight's a family deal. So I'm going to pray, and they'll start playing some music behind me even as I pray, and then when I say amen, immediately they're going to be men and women start handing out bread and glasses of juice. And I want you concentrating on this first song, just on the promises of God that find their yes in Him. I want you to claim them. I want you to trust Him for it. I want you to ask for help in trusting Him for it. And then Bleeker will lead us in some reflection on the cross. And then from there, I'm going to come back up and we'll do communion together. Okay? I love you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these men and women, and I thank you for a chance just to come in and celebrate you and the goodness of you and the thought of you and what you do. And I thank you that you've transcended age and generation and money and status. You've transcended all that. You've done it all. We had athletes and artists. We had a 62-year-old and a 40-year-old and a slew of 20-year-olds. I thank you that you have not abandoned this postmodern generation, but you're moving and saving and, well, you're just doing what you've always done. I thank you that you are not only ancient, but you are today, that you are the Alpha and the Omega and every letter in between. I thank you that I just thank you for your goodness and grace and find myself overwhelmed by them. I pray that for my brothers and sisters in here that this would be more than just bread and more than just juice, but the reminder of your wrath towards sin and your love towards us and all the promises and all the universe being made right and finding their yes in the cross would be dwelt upon deeply, and we might leave this place having experienced you. It's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. The scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was arrested, he took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant," and he gave it to him to drink. The funny thing about the cup that night is it got all the way back around to the circle and got back in Jesus' hand, and he said something I this day find thrilling. He got the cup back, and it was a lot better than our little ghetto plastic ones here, and he got it back in his hands, and he said, "Hey, this is the last time I'm gonna drink with you until..." He said, "Listen, we're drinking together tonight. I've established this new covenant, and I'm not going to drink with you again until..." And he put forth this time in the future where we would drink together again. He put out there this time in the future where we would sit down and there wouldn't be ghetto plastic cups, but that we would sit face to face with the King of the universe, and we would drink again. And we wouldn't know in part, but we would know in whole. And on that night, at that table, there'll be no more tears, no more fear, no more working out of salvation, no more sorrow, no more tiredness, no more, that it would all be gone and that the kingdom would be fulfilled, and we'd be back in Genesis 1 and 2, and we would drink again. We would drink the wine of the new vine that night with him. Heaven and earth restored, new heaven, new earth. Gone are tears, gone are sorrow, gone are fear, gone home, done. Fulfilled. It seems like Jesus was anxious about it, wanted it to get there. We're going to drink together again. And then you've got this really interesting conversation about what was to come, because he says that him returning, that he doesn't know the day, only the Father does. And so for 2,000 years, does Jesus keep looking over to the Father and saying, "Today? Today? No? Okay. Today? Today? Okay, no, okay. Today? No, okay." Eventually, there's going to be this day. Maybe today. I don't know. There's a couple hours left. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the day after that. Maybe the day after that. Maybe I don't get to see it. Maybe I just get to die, which is fine with me. Maybe my son gets to see it. Maybe his son gets to see it. Maybe his son's son gets to see it. But there's this day coming where Jesus looks to the Father and says, "Today." And the Father says, "Yes, today." And at that, the universe is ripped open. The Son returns, new heaven, new earth, and all is fulfilled. And we drink once again with no tears, no sorrow, no fear. New heaven, new earth. Genesis 1 and 2 restored. Therein lies our hope. That's our hope. Not that all would work in this life, but that all will in the next. So I thought we'd end that way tonight, huh? I thought we'd end tonight celebrating on the way out. that there is this day coming where the trumpet's going to sound and the glory of God will be seen in the heavens. It's going to be an amazing day. You guys are a bunch of obsessive compulsive cup breakers. I'll join you. Go ahead, do it. Let's get it out of the way. Break them. As in all things, let this be symbolic of one day the plastic cup going to the wayside and being replaced by the goblet of life in Jesus. I don't know. I love you. I love the King. Stand with me. Let's celebrate him.
It's me. This is my daughter, Macy. My name is Dustin Sandlin. And, you know, as a parent, there's many things that you want for your child. And as a believer, you know, the one thing that you want that you can't give of yourself is eternal salvation and that relationship with Christ. And so we pray and we hope and we ask our Heavenly Father to do for our children for what he's done for us. And so it's my privilege to share with you that he has done just that. So, Macy, where are you today?
It's because me and Mama and Miss Ann were talking about how Jesus died on the cross, and I just wanted to pray to Jesus and ask him to live in my heart.
Macy, because you've asked Jesus to live in your heart and you believe in me and on him as your personal Lord and Savior, it's my honor to baptize you not as my daughter, but as my sister. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jacob Van Horn. I am the college and singles pastor at the Village Church. And I would love to introduce you to Kyle Murphy, my brother in Christ, who will be baptized this evening. And Kyle would like to share a few things with you about what Christ has done in his life.
I came to a decision at a young age, later on to find out that it wasn't really a decision to follow Christ. It was a decision to more or less impress my peers. At the age of 15, God really got a hold of my life, and it's been a gradual process ever since. After I got out of a bad relationship last summer, God had brought me to Dallas area and brought me to this church and has slowly but surely been showing me the love and grace that he's really about.
Kyle, what is your profession of faith?
I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ.
It is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is Dawn Mathis and her husband Justin here to support her tonight, and she'd also like to share her testimony of God's saving grace.
I grew up going to church, but I always thought that God wanted me to do the right things, and then if I did that, he would love me. Because everything in my life was based on my accomplishments and the things that I did for other people. And everything changed the summer after my senior year of high school when I visited my Aunt Vicki and Uncle Daryl here in Texas and just felt the love and acceptance of God just right where I was in my life. And ever since then, God has walked with me in my life, and I've walked with him. And he continually shows me just the depth of my sin, but also the greatness of his grace that covers everything. And so this is the symbol of God's redemption in my life.
Don, have you come to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And it's my privilege, my sister, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
My privilege to be here to baptize her and also to share with you a little bit of her story, as this is just an emotional time for her and for all of us as we have this great opportunity to proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And Diane came to faith several years ago and was actually baptized several years ago. But it was through this process of sanctification, of her walking with Jesus, some of which came through illness and a lot of struggle. But she came through the membership class and realized that she's never been baptized by immersion as the example in the New Testament, and that she felt like to walk in obedience with Christ is to follow him in his example of baptism. And so she's here, and she said, you know, I just don't want them to think that I've got this all figured out and that this is just a struggle. And I'll probably struggle to the end, and I can just say amen to that. But our hope is not for today. Our hope is for tomorrow. And we are here to proclaim that our hope is in the death and resurrection of our Lord. So, Dan, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And based upon that public profession of faith and obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. My name is Mary Beth Laferney, and I'm a student at Furman University. And this is Sarah Knorr and my sister in Christ. And we have become just the closest of friends through a lot of heartache and pain, and the Lord has been so faithful in his love for us. And Sarah was raised and was baptized as an infant, and today she's come saying, I want to make a public profession of my faith for the Lord and his love for me. And so it is my privilege to baptize Sarah. And Sarah, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. My name is Don Warren, and this is my wife, Amy. And she's here this morning and asked me to baptize her. And this is the first time I've ever done something like this, so I'm going to mess up. any event, she's going to tell you a little bit about her story and how she's come to her decision to want to be baptized.
After many years of living what I consider to be a good life, God in his great mercy allowed me to see my sin. And over the last couple of years, I've come to know what grace means. And it's become real to me, and I'm so glad he extends the gift, the free gift of salvation, to anybody who will accept it. And I'm here to take that act of obedience now and be baptized.
Amy, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And upon your confession, Lord Jesus Christ, whoops, I knew I'd mess up. Let's try it one more time. The one thing Paul said was don't bang their head into the. Are you ready? Amy, upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Since he didn't get it right the first time, I'm going to give him another shot.
This is my father. He knows I'll mess it up again. As I mentioned, this is my father, and he wanted me to give his testimony today. So I'm going to do the best I can to paraphrase what he wrote. And that is, the first thing I want to preface it with is that we sometimes ask ourselves, why is there so much pain in the world? And I've really come to understand that it's because the Lord uses pain. And if we didn't have that pain, a lot of times we'd never turn to him. And that's the story of my father. He grew up in a broken up home, and he went through a devastating divorce. And years after that, he found another lady and got remarried. And in the midst of that, he had a heart attack, and then she had terminal cancer. So in the midst of all that, the Lord used that pain and brought me home one night. And in the kitchen, I'm going to break up a bit too, I'm sorry.
The Lord touched his heart, and he got on his knees at the age of 63 and made a decision that he couldn't live life on his own, that he needed the Lord's help. And with that, the Lord came in his heart and took him as he rode to the highest part of the mountain. And then after that, his wife died, and he went to the depths. But Jesus has always been there, and that's what he's here for. And he said at the end of his little speech, praise his name, he's always there.
A little further.
You gotta be sure this time.
I'm gonna make sure this time. Do you believe Lord Jesus is your Savior?
Yes. Okay. I baptize you, my Father, in the name of the Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And today it's my honor and privilege to be here to baptize Jordan Smith. Jordan has known the Lord since she was a small child. She was baptized as a small child and followed Christ as a small child. And as she's grown older, she's realized that she didn't give herself completely to the Lord. And so about a year ago, she decided she had to let go of life the way she was living it and totally surrender herself to Christ. And so today, as an outward expression of her faith and this decision that she's made, Jordan has decided she wants to be baptized. So Jordan, step forward. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, Jordan, it's my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Mary Catherine Dunn, and this is my dear friend, Christy Bernstein. About 2 years ago, while Christy and I were in college, we were on a trip together with school, and the Lord just laid this conversation in our laps, and we began talking about what the Lord had done in my life. Christy didn't grow up in church, and we had become friends in college and had some really good conversations, but on this particular trip, the Lord just started calling Christy to himself, and so over the course of the next couple of months, Christy began coming to church and really seeking after the Lord, and came to a faith in him. And then over the last few years, Christy and I have been able to learn and grow together in Christ. And so it is my honor to be up here with her tonight. So Christy, have you come to a place where you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is my brother in Christ, Stephen Walsh, and he would like to share his testimony of God's saving grace in his life.
I grew up in church, and I just always kind of thought I was a Christian. I never really questioned my salvation. Last summer, I was eating lunch with a friend, and we met twice or two or three times a year just to talk about God, and she would talk, I would listen, just went right over my head. Last summer, we were eating lunch, and just something about our conversation was different. We went out into the parking lot. She asked me if she could pray for me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and I just broke down in tears. I couldn't explain what had happened to me, but I knew that Christ had changed my life at that moment. I don't remember the drive home. I don't remember getting onto my bed and reading my Bible that afternoon, but I knew I was different and that it was my calling to follow Jesus the rest of my life.
Stephen, have you come to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it's my joy, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Randy Rose Moon, and I'm a member here at the Village Church, and this is Martha Bennett. And Martha came to Christ. Martha came to Christ when she was 17 years old, and she has been following Christ since then. She was baptized as a baby, and because she wants to continue to follow the Lord, follow in his footsteps, she has made a decision to be baptized tonight before everybody here. Martha, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, let me read her Bible verse that she chose for this baptism. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. Martha, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. My name is Mary Beth Laferny, and I'm a student at Furman University. And this is Sarah Knorr and my sister in Christ. And we have become just the closest of friends through a lot of heartache and pain. And the Lord has been so faithful in his love for us. And Sarah was raised and was baptized as an infant. And today she has become... She's come saying, I want to make a public profession of my faith for the Lord and his love for me. And so it is my privilege to baptize Sarah. And Sarah, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Paul Mathis, and I serve as the membership pastor here at the Village Church. And tonight we get the joy of celebrating lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ordinance of baptism. And this is my brother in Christ, Brandon Bond. And Brandon was not raised actively going to church, though he said he had a middle understanding of Christ that never made him question his salvation until about 3 years ago he was invited to come to the Village while at a party. And he came. And through the preaching of the word here, and through the sermons that he heard, he began questioning and seeking and searching. And about 3 years ago, during a movie that he was watching at home, a certain scene gripped him. And it was during that scene that he began weeping and got on his knees and encountered Christ in a saving way and surrendered his heart to him. And so he is here to publicly profess his desire to follow Christ and be a part of this body of Christ here at the Village. So, Brandon, have you come to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it is my privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I'm Carl Hadra, and this is my very special, special friend, and our sister in Christ, Robin Bundy. Robin came to know the Lord at a young age and was a regular church attender through most of her particularly teenage years. And through the trials and tribulations and events over, say, the past 3 or 4 years, she's allowed her relationship with Christ to wane and get to a place where it shouldn't have been. Well, the good news is she's back on the team. Through the power of a couple of very special relationships, the power of prayer, God's grace, and also the power of, frankly, this incredible church where we are tonight, she's back to reaffirm her faith in Jesus as her Savior. Robin, do you accept Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior with all your heart?
I do.
It's just an honor and a privilege to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Lauren Borgeson, and I'm their home group leader.
I'm Jenna Jager, and we are baptizing Jessica Lundin.
Well, Jessica was baptized when she was a baby, and she was brought up in a strong Catholic home. But it wasn't until about a year ago that she began to walk in an intimate relationship with Jesus. And it was about around that same time that she came to my home group, and I was just able to watch God do a big work in our heart. And when people ask me about my home group, I normally tell them about Jessica and just the powerful conversion story and being able to walk alongside her and watch the Lord just totally change her heart and change her desires to be his desires and just to watch her fall more in love with the Lord. So it's our honor to baptize her tonight.
Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I have.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
This is my sister in Christ, Jessica Brazil, and she'd also like to share her testimony tonight.
I was raised in the church. I accepted Christ in my heart as my Savior, surrendered my life to him when I was 11. But it wasn't until I was 18 and was in college that I really began to realize that I had not been living my life, although I'd surrendered it. I hadn't been living it for the Lord, I'd been living it for myself. And so over the next 3 or 4 years, God really did a whole lot in changing me and helped me to realize that his path for my life was to go into Christian counseling and to serve his people and serve him for the rest of my life by helping them just with the struggles that they have in their lives.
Jessica, have you come to believe and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it is my joy, my sister, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
My name is Brett Wiseman. This is my brother, Scott Wiseman. Scott and I were both baptized in the Episcopal Church as babies, and though that baptism to us is very significant and important, Scott has decided, like I did, to be baptized by immersion after he's accepted Christ. Scott accepted Christ in high school, and since then, especially this last year and a half, 2 years, it's been awesome to see how God has grown him and changed him, and we're excited about that. Scott has really grown into a man that I respect and that I desire to be like and admire. So, Scott, have you accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, I have.
That I baptize you now as my brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Howdy. I'm Courtney Tredoy, and I lead a small group in the North Dallas area. But more importantly tonight, I am the brother in Christ of this individual here, Chris Ernst. And he'd like to share a few words with you.
I was blessed to be raised by two amazing, godly parents who found the value of sharing Christ with me at a young age and having me get involved with my church. And in fourth grade, I had the opportunity to go to a church camp out in West Texas, and there I heard about a relationship with Christ. And it was there that I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And in the time since then, through high school and through college, through trials and tribulations, I've definitely grown and I've been broken down, been rebuilt by Christ. And I'm excited to become a part of this church and do life together with the people here at the Village.
Chris, have you come to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
It's my privilege to baptize you, my brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
If you're a covenant member of the Village Church or currently in the membership class, will you stand with me? One of the most beautiful parts of what we're celebrating here tonight is first and foremost the transforming power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through the cross of Christ and his grace. And that's primary, that's ultimate. But there are these other things too that we celebrate tonight. And one of them is that in the cross of Christ and in the saving act of Jesus, he also creates family. Like he creates relationships, deep, eternal relationships. And so the men and women that are standing up behind me, they are men and women who have been in the water just like you have been in the water, and they are men and women who have stories similar to yours or very different than yours, but the one thing we have in common is that where we were, Jesus found us. Some of us grew up in Christian homes, some of us didn't, some of us came to know Christ late, some of us got baptized as children, but he just showed up and saved us. And so tonight I want to welcome you home. I want to welcome you home and tell you on behalf of the staff and on behalf of the covenant members who are behind me, we are in a covenant with you to love you, to walk with you, to help you discover the gifts that Christ has imparted to you. I want to invite you to change us. And I know historically churches haven't really welcomed that, but I come and change us. Come, I believe that God's given you vision and a way of seeing and a way of being that we need here, which is why Jesus brought you here. So come and change us. Come and change us. You've been prayed for long before you got here. For years, this place, years before me, this place was praying that Jesus would save young men and save young women and save men and save women and call unto himself a group of men and women who would serve him in the kingdom faithfully. And so although we did not pray for you by name, we have been praying for you for quite some time. So welcome home. Will you pray with me for these? Father, I thank you so much for these men and women, and I thank you for for how you brought them here through families, through friends, through fathers, through college roommates, through... Thank you. I pray that we as staff here would be faithful to help these be connected to the body and not just attenders here, but connected to your body and grow in a relationship with you. Pray, Father, we'd be faithful to help them discover their gifts and plug in. Father, I thank you that standing up here is a new way of doing life. For the younger ones, a new way of being married, a new way of raising children, a new way. There's new life, new ways, as you say, all things new. We love you. I thank you for these men and women. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church, located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about the Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.